This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Time Jumpers, Book 5 of the Five Kingdoms series by Brandon Mull. Read by Keith Knobs.
Chapter 1. Prisoners. Cole could not see anything. He lay stretched across the rough wooden planks of a wagon bed, the hood over his head somewhat dampening the impact as the boards rapped against his skull. Judging from the sound of the hoofbeats and the rattling of the vehicle, they were moving briskly along a dirt road. His hands were bound together behind his back with strong, slender cords. Iron manacles encircled his ankles, biting into his skin when he tried to pull free. The coarse material against his face threatened to induce a claustrophobic panic, though he could breathe reasonably well. Unpleasant sensations assailed him: hunger, thirst, soreness, exhaustion. Having just returned from the Echo Lands, he found ownership of a physical body startlingly unfamiliar. He had not felt hungry in a long while, or sore. Cole had been warned before returning to his body. He knew he had been captured, along with Destiny, Honor, and Desmond. Their bodies had been left behind at the Temple of the Robust Sky when they had departed for the Echo Lands, and their defenseless physical forms had fallen into the power of enforcers. The prelate, Alana, had placed their bodies in a secret room for safekeeping. Clearly, something had gone wrong. Wherever Alana was now, Cole hoped she was all right. "Hello?" Cole called, not at full volume, but hopefully loud enough for any other prisoners sharing the wagon to hear.
"Cole?"
a voice answered, slightly muffled. It was Destiny. Tessa, Mira's youngest sister, who he had just rescued in the Echo Lands.
"I'm here too,"
Honor said, her voice clearer and louder, though somewhat dampened as well. Strong and independent, Honor was Mira's second oldest sister and had helped in the search for Tessa.
"Desmond?"
There came no reply.
"Anybody else?"
Honor tried. "It may just be the three of us," Cole said.
"Are you tied up too?"
"Manacles on my hands and feet," Honor replied over the creak and rattle of the wagon.
"Hood over my head."
Cole wondered if he should be insulted that only his feet had actual manacles.
"I can't see either," Destiny said. "My hands are tied, my legs are chained."
"Me too,"
Cole said, deciding that he was considered a lesser threat than Honor.
"Can you spring us, Cole?"
Honor asked.
It was a fair question. In the Echo Lands, Cole had finally unlocked his power. His shaping ability had become inaccessible after being mangled when he fought Morgasa in Elowir. Once his power had become active, Cole found he could awaken the shaping power in others, and he had learned to transform objects in the Echo Lands with his will, as if he were a gifted shaper in Sambria. Cole could still feel his power smoldering inside. It had been absent for so long, the presence was unmistakable. In the Echo Lands, he had recently used his power to throw down castle walls. The manacles should not stand a chance, let alone the fabric of the hood covering his face. Mustering his focus, Cole willed the unseen manacles cuffing his ankles to dissolve. Nothing happened. Cole tugged with his legs against the restraints. The unforgiving iron dug into his skin just as before. Cole willed the fabric of the hood to split apart. He drew on his power with all of his effort. Not a single thread popped.
"I don't know," Cole replied. "I can feel my power, but it doesn't seem to be working. I can't make it connect."
"I worried it might be different back in a physical body," Honor said.
"Why should it be different?"
Cole asked. The Echo Lands are made of a whole different kind of matter, Honor said. You didn't have a physical body there, and you weren't affecting physical material. I've never heard of anyone developing their power as quickly as you did in the Echo Lands. You have the same abilities here, but using those skills in the physical world may take more time to develop. Cole relaxed his mind. Without straining, he tried to push his power at the iron cuffs gripping his ankles. Again, he got no result. He refocused on the hood, to no avail. I'm sorry, Cole said. I can't even tear the hood. But my power is with me. They're probably taking us to Owendell, Honor said. Once we reach Junction, I should be able to access my power. I'll set us free. No, Destiny said, her voice calm and certain. Going before Owendell will lead us to the paths we must walk. For a long moment, Cole listened to hoofs clopping and scuffing against the dirt. The wagon jerked, swayed, and creaked. That settles it, Honor said, resignation in her tone. No escape attempt. We wait. What paths? Cole asked. Where are we going? I don't know, Destiny said, sounding like herself once more. No hints? Cole asked. I'm sorry, Destiny said. It just comes. I never know more than what comes. No apology needed, Honor said. Any guidance helps. In the Echo Lands, Cole had seen Destiny's power in action. Separate from her, in the form of a horse, her power had played a key role in helping him find Destiny, save his friends, and prevent the return of Nazim, who was really a Torvor named Romaro. Before leaving the afterlife, Destiny's power had been restored to her, and now it was speaking through her. We let the enforcers take us to Owendell? Cole checked. Yes, if we have any sense, Honor said. No good comes from trying to avoid Tessa's prophecies. We don't resist at all? Cole asked. We can try whatever we want after we meet with Owendell, Honor said. Until then, we use patience. It's hard to be patient with a bag over your head, Cole observed. The wagon slowed to a stop. Are we there? Cole asked. I don't think so, Honor said in a tone so hushed Cole could barely hear her. I'd have some access to my power if we were in Junction. They're probably changing horses. Cole heard the clink and jangle of chains at the rear of the wagon. Play possum, Honor suggested quietly. Cole went limp as he heard doors open. The unsteady glow of torchlight flickered up through the bottom of his hood. Somebody was checking on the prisoners. Breathing softly, Cole stayed limp. Still there, a gruff voice affirmed. The door closed. Harnesses jingled and hoofs clopped. A horse whickered. Shortly, the wagon lurched forward. They're in a hurry, Honor said. I don't want to see Owendell, Tessa said, in a voice nearly too small to hear. Cole almost replied that her own power was to blame for their decision to go submissively before the head of the High King's secret police. But since Owendell had used shapecraft, the ability to tamper with the shaping power itself, to take Destiny's power when she was only 9 and give it to her father, Cole decided sensitivity was required. You must hate him, he said. Owendell scares me, Tessa replied. He'll hurt you again over my dead body, Otter promised. That doesn't comfort me, Tessa said. I don't want to lose you. Trust your power, Cole said. It helps save us in the Echo Lands. Knowing we should talk to Owendell doesn't necessarily spare us from harm, Honor said. Terrible consequences could follow. Destiny's prophecy could simply mean that any efforts to escape would fail. Or it could mean the encounter with Owendell will produce outcomes that need to happen for some higher purpose. But serving a higher purpose is no guarantee of safety. You're not very comforting, Cole said. Does our situation seem comfortable? Honor challenged.
We all need to face reality.
What do you think they did with Desmond? Tessa asked.
He wasn't a high enough priority to transfer him to Junction, Honor said. Hopefully he's just imprisoned back near the Temple of the Robust Sky.
What is our reality? Cole asked. Does Owendell want your powers again?
Perhaps, Honor said, or else he wants us as hostages.
Can he take your powers? Cole asked.
He proved he has the ability, Honor said. We didn't surrender them willingly the first time.
Is your father behind this? Cole wondered.
Assisted by Owendell, the High King had used shapecraft to steal the powers of his five daughters several decades ago. The absence of their shaping abilities had stopped the princesses from aging. Miracle, Honor, Constance, and Destiny all had their powers back now. Only their eldest sister, Elegance, still lacked her stolen abilities.
Hard to say, Honor said.
Though Owendell still works for Father, he doesn't collaborate closely with him anymore, and is clearly carrying out his own schemes with Romaro. We won't know how much Father is involved until this unfolds.
Cole frowned at the mention of Romaro. Under the name Nazim, the Torvor had introduced shapecraft into the Five Kingdoms. Romaro had just escaped his prison in the Echolands, but with help from Cole, the Torvor had been diverted to a prison in Creon when he re-entered mortality.
Owendell stole our powers for Father in the first place, Honor said. I expect Owendell will want to take them again, but I'm not going to resist Destiny's foresight. When she speaks under the influence of her gift, I have never known her to be wrong.
How many of the enforcers are loyal to your father? Cole asked.
Could they be taking us to him?
Owendell has recently proven that he controls the majority of the enforcers, Honor said. I'm sure there are some exceptions.
Where do we go if we escape him? Cole asked.
In the capital? Honor asked.
We try to find Mother.
Cole had met Harmony. She had helped him escape Junction the last time he visited.
Do you think she can help us find Mira? Cole wondered.
Probably, Honor said. I hope Mother can also direct us to Elegance. Our highest priority is to stop Romaro, and we'll need help from Wayminders. Mother has contacts in that community.
Cole felt smothered by more than the hood covering his face. There was so much to be done.
The prison where he had helped deposit Romaro would not hold the Torvor forever. It might only restrain him for weeks or even days. And if the Torvor got free, the outskirts would fall under his complete control. Not to mention that the Torvor wanted revenge against Cole and his friends. The ancient shapers who had created the outskirts had barely managed to contain Romaro, and nobody was left who could defeat him. Cole had to find a way to prevent his escape. And he needed to find his friends, especially Mira, Jace, and Dalton, and his brother Hunter. And he needed to rescue Jenna and the other kids who had been kidnapped into the outskirts from his neighborhood in Arizona. And he needed to restore Elegance's power and defeat the High King. And he was currently tied up in a prison wagon. And his power didn't work right anymore.
Let's survive Owendell first, Cole said.
He's a powerful shapecrafter, Honor warned. He can block the shaping of others, and we know with enough time he can strip away their powers and give them to another.
Cole temporarily wished he could return to the Echolands, where he had gained so much power. Nobody in the Echolands could chain him up and cart him around. Of course, it was also the last stop, before moving on to the next phase of existence. Most people in the Echolands were dead. Cole was back in the living world, and he had to solve his problems here. Or at least try.
I guess we just have to be patient for now, Cole concluded.
Save your strength, Honor suggested. We'll need it before long.
Chapter 2. Owendell. As the journey wore on, Cole had few options to improve his comfort. He rotated between lying on his stomach, his right side, his left side, and his back. He could not endure resting on his back for long because, with his wrists bound behind him, the position placed too much pressure on his arms. He tried sitting or kneeling from time to time, but that never felt very comfortable. Cole tried to picture his home. He had visited a realistic dream version of his home shortly before meeting She Who Stands at the Summit in the Echo Lands. Some of those details still felt pretty fresh, but riding his bike down his street? Eating breakfast at the kitchen table? A typical day of school? Those memories seemed like remote visions of another life. A life far from prison wagons and spiritual realms and advanced robots and magical powers. Far from exiled princesses and life or death combat. Would he ever make it home? Would he see his parents again? His sister? Would he go to bed without wondering if enemies would capture him while he slept or kill him? Maybe. If he could survive this current predicament, there had to be a chance. If Owendell simply wanted him dead, that would have happened while his spirit was in the Echo Lands. If Cole survived this, then he could work on the next problem. And the next one. He had survived a lot. Maybe he could keep on surviving. One day at a time. One crisis at a time. But maybe, at some point, he wouldn't survive. Would that be so bad? He had seen there was life after death. He knew something about where he would end up. And he had heard the call of the other, the realm beyond the Echo Lands. The call had been inviting. Someday he would answer that call. Hopefully not today, or tomorrow, or any time soon. He had too much to do. How long had their unanimated bodies traveled in the wagon before he, Honor, and Tessa returned from the Echo Lands? How many times had the teams been changed? The road seemed smoother, the hoofbeats crisper, the wagon barely rattled. The road must be paved, or something similar. "Are we nearing the capital?" Cole asked. "We're in Junction," Honor replied. "I felt my powers go active half an hour ago." "Mine faded a little as we left Necronum," Tessa said. "Mine feel the same," Cole said. He tried to will the cords on his wrists to dissolve. Nothing happened. He could sense his power, but he couldn't push it into the physical objects around him. Doing so had felt perfectly natural in the Echo Lands. Before long, the wagon slowed and rounded a corner. The pace remained slow, and turning became frequent, until the wagon descended a short, steep incline, leveled out, and stopped. Chains clinked at the rear of the wagon. Then the doors opened.
"On your feet," the gruff voice ordered.
Staying limp, Cole held still. He heard no sound from the princesses.
"Come off it," the voice said. "I heard you gabbing off and on for the past 20 miles. On your feet, unless you want to be dragged."
Cole heard the princesses stirring, so he stood up as well. It took some extra effort without the use of his hands. He wondered how much the man had heard. They hadn't spoken loudly. The wagon was enclosed, and the horses made noise. Hopefully the driver had just caught an occasional murmur of conversation. What if the driver had heard everything? Had they expressed anything compromising? Cole heard someone approach. An iron collar clamped around his neck, fitting over the hood and drawing the cloth tighter against his face. Cole tried to keep his breathing calm. Air seemed to pass through the material well enough. Near his feet, a key clicked inside a lock, and a manacle unfastened from one ankle. Then the other was removed. At least that was a relief. Cole was suddenly tugged forward by the collar. It guided him forward, sideways, and then to a stop, suggesting that the collar was connected to a pole rather than a rope. Cole felt helplessly angry. Did they have to treat him like an animal? Were they afraid he would bite?
"Drop to the ground," a hard voice commanded.
Probing ahead with his foot, Cole felt nothing but empty air. He must have been at the back of the wagon, and they wanted him to jump down. His inability to see made the prospect uncomfortable. The opportunity to choose was taken from him as he was yanked forward by his collar. Hands bound behind his back, unable to gauge the arrival of the ground, Cole fell for an alarming moment and then stumbled upon impact. The collar pressed up against the underside of his jaw, stretching his neck as it kept him on his feet. Cole didn't hear anyone ordering the princesses to jump, so he assumed they were helped down more gently. Did they have collars too? Until now, Cole had been too distracted by what his captors were doing to him to heed any clues about Honor and Tessa. The unrelenting collar pulled him forward. Others walked nearby. Cole stamped his feet. The level ground and the acoustics of his footfalls made him suspect he was in a room rather than outside. He halted as murmured words were exchanged. A door opened.
"Honor?" Cole tried.
"Silence," a harsh voice demanded.
Whoever held the pole attached to his collar gave it a jolting shake.
"We're here,"
Honor answered from not far behind him.
"No more words, or I start really hurting the boy," the harsh voice threatened.
For a moment, Cole forgot the plan to go quietly. He could feel his power inside. Using his anger and frustration to sharpen his focus, he tried to push his power into the collar around his neck. In the Echo Lands, when engaging his power, he could feel the target object without touching it. Here, though he could feel the weight of the collar around his neck, he could not touch it with his power. He was tugged forward again. Cole walked in brooding silence. He passed through another door, and another. Then he was brought to a stop.
"Wait here," the harsh voice demanded. "Don't move."
Whoever held the pole connected to his collar set it down. Footsteps retreated. A door closed. Cole waited. He could see nothing.
"Otter?"
Tessa asked.
"Cole?"
"Yes,"
Cole said.
"Here,"
Honor said.
"Anyone else?"
Tessa tried. There came no reply.
"Where are we?"
Tessa asked.
"Underground," Honor replied. "The bowels of some building. Maybe Hackrell's castle."
"Where?" Cole asked.
"Headquarters for the Enforcers," Honor replied. "Don't assume we're alone just because nobody answered."
"Indeed,"
a confident voice replied. The unexpected male voice startled Cole.
"Owendell,"
Honor said.
"Good memory,"
Owendell replied.
"Guards, remove the hoods."
Fingers tugged the bottom of Cole's hood out from the iron collar and then removed the coarse covering. He blinked beneath the glare of multiple lanterns. The windowless room was made of mortared stone. Honor and Tessa stood off to one side. They wore no collars, and their hands were free. Owendell paced before them, hands behind his back, wearing a brown robe, shoulders stooped. His hairless head and fleshy features looked much as Cole remembered them from the ceremony at the Founding Stone, beneath the first castle.
"You guards are dismissed," Owendell said. "Please stay alert."
Looking over his shoulder, Cole saw four guards dressed as enforcers exit the room. The far end of the pole attached to his collar rested on the floor, as if to prop him up.
"Does our father know we're here?"
Honor asked once the door had closed. Owendell shrugged.
"Difficult, to be sure. Stafford has many spies. I have not informed him, if that is what you mean. The High King is a scant shadow of the leader he once was. I withhold much from him for the good of the kingdoms."
"What do you want with us?" Honor asked. Owendell stopped pacing and smiled.
"Is this how it works? Are you conducting an interrogation?"
"You abducted us," Honor said evenly. "I want to know why."
"How authoritative of you," Owendell said. "How absolutely royal. Do you grasp that you are my prisoner? Do you understand that your monarchy is at an end?
I understand that you work for my father, Honor said.
Owendell scrunched one eye and looked upward with the other.
In theory, perhaps. According to certain documents, I owe him my allegiance. Ceremonial vows were made. In practice, it has been some time since anyone of consequence took Stafford Pemberton seriously.
This castle, this city, and the Five Kingdoms all belong to him, Honor said.
Officially, yes, for the moment, Owendell said, pacing again. I despise empty words. Listen, you two princesses currently have political value, but not for much longer. All conventional metrics will soon be outdated. The deck will be reshuffled. Serving boys and milkmaids might outrank kings and queens. All that will matter before long is where you stand with Nazim.
You mean Romaro? Cole asked.
Very few know that name in connection with Nazim, Owendell said quietly. None who do dare utter it.
Romaro? Cole repeated, happy to bother him.
Owendell gave a very brittle smile.
I'm aware you interacted with my master shortly before he departed the Echo Lands. It is part of the reason I wish to consult with you three. That and the novelty of your shaping powers. Your power looks different, Cole. Much more serviceable than when we last met. I take it the Echo Lands agreed with you.
I learned a few things, Cole said vaguely. The smile changed to a baring of teeth.
Hearken my words, boy. The order of the world is changing. Many will suffer, many will perish. An elect few will rise. Above most others I have encountered, your power could be of interest to Nazim.
It was, Cole said. Romaro tried to recruit me.
Owendell drew near him.
You resisted?
Good guess, Cole said.
You are an alien in a dangerous land, Owendell said. Do you comprehend that his generosity is your only hope?
I'm going to stop him, Cole said. You should help us.
Owendell chuckled.
Do you realize who you're talking to?
Do you get who you serve? Cole challenged. You'll be a slave.
Owendell grinned.
Even if that were true, Nazim's slaves will possess more power than kings. He can effectuate shaping potential that exceeds our greediest fantasies. And he'll use it to control everyone, Cole said.
You'll be at his mercy. And he is not merciful. Surrendering to Romaro is not winning.
Young, Owendell spat. Naive. Foolhardy.
He turned to the princesses.
There is no sense in resisting the inevitable. No sense in demanding certain destruction. Your shaping power could interest my master as well.
Do you want us to join you? Honor asked bitterly.
To trust you? You took our powers. You destroyed our family.
We've met Romaro, Tessa said. We won't be joining you.
Owendell smiled.
I feel you trying to engage your power, Honor. Not in my presence, my dear. I could shut down 10 of you, especially here in Junction. Doesn't come as easily as an Elowir, does it?
Eyes intent, sweat beating on her brow, Honor grunted in reply. Owendell shifted his attention to Tessa.
I can even block your squirmy ability. No cryptic babblings will issue forth in my presence.
His gaze moved on to Cole and showed a flicker of concern.
And you are most unusual.
Let us go, Cole said. If you won't help us, just let us go.
Wouldn't it be better if we stopped Romaro? Even if it's a long shot? Owendell shook his head.
My master is no longer in the Echo Lands. He has already returned.
Then where is he? Cole asked.
Owendell narrowed his eyes.
Something interfered, Perhaps some ancient failsafe built into his prison.
Maybe it was me, Cole said.
Impossible, Owendell whispered.
Then he must have arrived without any problem, Cole said. Where is he? Owendell brought his face right up to Cole's.
What happened? Where is Nazim?
I sent him home to the magical land of the Torvors, Cole said. Real anger flared in Owendell's eyes.
I know that isn't so. It would take an unimaginable amount of power for a Torvor to escape this realm. Start speaking truth. Where is Nazim?
Don't explain, Honor cautioned. I know, Cole said. Owendell inched closer, furious eyes unblinking, warm breath unpleasant until his nose almost touched Cole's.
You will tell me, boy, or I'll leave your power twice as mangled as it was before.
The threat rattled Cole. He had barely healed his power in the Echolands, and the ordeal had stretched him to his limits. With all the troubles ahead, the last thing he wanted was to lose his power again. But he couldn't lead Owendell to his master. Cole knew some details of the imprisonment. The vault was called the Void, where Romaro currently floated at the center of a vast, empty space, reliving the same looping millisecond, unable to move, and drawn back to the center if he did. The Torvor had been deposited there with help from the consciousness of Dandelus, imprinted on the Founding Stone. Cole knew the Void was in Creon, but had no idea where exactly. And he knew the prison, strong as it was, would probably not hold Romaro very long. If Owendell found Romaro, the escape would almost certainly come more speedily. Romaro couldn't take me down, Cole said. Let's see what you've got. Owendell huffed incredulously.
Nazim had his considerable powers focused on returning from the afterlife. A nearly impossible feat. You encountered him at a rare moment of vulnerability and proved an inconvenience.
And I'll do it again, Cole said. You should help.
Last warning, Owendell said. Explain what happened. I know Nazim crossed over. Tell me where he is.
Never, Cole said. Owendell backed up a step, glancing at the princesses.
You know what I'm about to do to him, Owendell threatened. Tell me what I want to know.
We have no idea, Honor said. Cole doesn't either. He had help diverting Romaro.
I believe that, Owendell said. But the boy knows more than he is telling.
Very well. Standing before Cole, Owendell seized his shoulders. Suddenly Cole could sense Owendell's power. Roiling and dark, tainted, but mighty. That corrupt power surged at Cole, sliding across the surface of the energy inside him. Gritting his teeth, Cole pushed Owendell's power away, and Owendell staggered, landing flat on his back. Round eyes stared up in shock and dismay. Cole felt a flash of similar surprise at how naturally it had come to him, then smiled. It felt good to access his power and feel a reaction. He could still perceive Owendell's power, but could no longer connect to it. Honor laughed. You're out of your depth, little man. Without a response, still looking startled, Owendell got to his feet, absently brushing at his robe. His gaze shifted between Honor and Cole. A knock came at the door.
All is well,
Owendell snapped.
Give us time.
The knock was repeated more insistently.
Give us time!
Owendell shouted. A key jiggled in the lock, and the door opened. An enforcer poked his head inside.
Begging your pardon, we're under attack, the guard said.
Attack!
Owendell asked, bewildered.
The Royal Guard, the enforcer said. The Legionnaires, the Junction City Militia, Royalist enforcers, were being overwhelmed. Commander Ratcliffe gave the evacuation order.
Owendell stroked his chin.
Stafford sent his forces against us. The old goat is finally making a move. After all this time, I honestly didn't believe he had it in him.
A decisive move, the guard said. Quick. Unexpected. They had help from the inside. The upper levels have already fallen. We can still get you out, but we have to go.
Owendell started laughing.
Is everything all right? The guard asked.
I'm sorry, Owendell said, waving away the comment. The king has no idea what is coming. He is playing politics while the sky is falling. He is fretting about pests in his garden when the volcano next door is about to erupt.
Cole edged over toward Honor. They needed to escape, and the contact with Owendell had given him an idea. Neither Owendell nor the guard seemed to notice his movement.
Be that as it may, the guard said, the king is successfully taking Hackrell's castle. We must away or surrender.
Commander Ratcliffe had it right, Owendell said. This castle is meaningless. Cole, you and your peculiar powers? Pointless. You princesses? Irrelevant. Nazim is coming. All unrelated currency will soon be worthless.
And yet, the castle is falling, the guard reminded everyone. Leave the prisoners?
No, Owendell said. They won't get off that easily. And I will not hand Stafford that minor victory. Bring the prisoners.
The guard fully opened the door, and three other enforcers tromped in. Cole closed the last of the distance between himself and Honor, twisting so he could touch her hand with his hands tied behind his back. He immediately sensed her power, steady and strong. More important, as he had hoped, his own power connected easily to hers. It felt natural and simple, like it had in the Echolands. He could also sense power from Owendell, shrouding the energy inside her like a dark, filmy cocoon. Clenching his jaw, Cole used his power to feed energy into hers. Her energy blazed brilliantly, and Owendell's cocoon evaporated. With a roar, Honor expanded into a huge, shaggy bear at least 3 or 4 feet taller than Cole. Lunging forward, she clamped her fierce jaws down on the shoulder of the nearest guard. She shook him brutally, making his limbs flop, then heaved him off to one side, where he slammed against the wall and dropped to the floor in a savaged heap. The bulk of the bear made the room seem much smaller. Cole and Tessa fell back behind her. Though Cole was no longer touching Honor, the connection to her power remained, and he kept feeding her energy. The enforcer nearest Honor assumed a fighting stance. Thorn-like spikes sprouted from his armor, and his sword elongated into a spear. The enforcers who Cole had encountered usually had shaping powers. This guy was no exception. The other two guards ushered Owendell toward the door.
No!
Owendell griped.
Not without the prisoners.
We have no time for a fight, the guard who had first poked his head in cried. The king's men will be upon us shortly.
The spiky guard lunged forward with his spear. Honor batted the spearhead aside and raked him with her claws. The guard went down and Honor pounced, wounding her forelegs on his spikes as she tore his armor apart. The other two guards ushered Owendell out of the room. The door banged shut and a lock immediately clicked. Roaring, Honor charged the door, blubber and muscles in motion beneath her golden brown coat. She swatted the door and leaned her bulk against it. She snarled and slashed with her claws. The door held against her assault. Backing away a pace or two, she faced the door and sat down. The two guards she had mauled lay still. Owendell did not return. Chapter 3, A Radiant Deed. Honor had changed back to her human shape by the time the Legionnaires encountered them. The smartly uniformed soldiers appeared astonished by the discovery. They abandoned the room once they realized who they had found. When a higher-ranking officer returned, he had Honor and Destiny put on brown robes with cowls. Cole got the same claustrophobic hood back over his head and was led out of the room by the same iron collar. He proceeded along a winding route to a wagon that carted him away. When he tried to strike up a conversation, Cole found he was alone. He tried to sense Honor's power, only to find that whatever connection he had established no longer remained. They had survived Owendell for now. Might Stafford be worse? Cole had met the High King before. At the time, Cole was posing as an errand boy. Would the High King remember him? Would Cole even get an audience with him? What would be the fate of the mysterious kid discovered alongside two of the lost princesses? Execution seemed like a realistic possibility. After the wagon stopped, Cole was taken on another excursion. He could tell he was indoors once again. The air eventually grew cooler, damper, smelling of stone and rot. He descended many steps. Several doors opened and closed. He was finally unhooded by a surly guard inside a dank cell. The pole was detached from his iron collar, and a chain was threaded through his collar and locked to the wall. When the guard closed the cell door, the torchlight departed with him. The cell was almost too small for Cole to lie down. He thought he remembered seeing a little hole in the corner for relieving himself. The chain seemed just long enough to let him reach it. Cole was sad to lose the company of the princesses. He hoped they had better accommodations than he did. He wondered if their father would try to take their powers again. Could he do that without Owendell? Sighing, Cole sat down. The stone felt uncomfortably cold, even through his clothes. Being locked in a dungeon seemed like an appropriate symbol of total failure. Could he sink lower than this? Maybe a torture chamber? Or a coffin? The longer Cole sat, the more he began to appreciate the quiet and the darkness. One thing about languishing in a dungeon, it put your other responsibilities on hold. He tried to push his power into the collar again and into the chain that attached him to the wall, but to no avail. He had felt strong connections with Owendell's power and Honor's power, but everything else remained unreachable. Cole discovered some relief in the lack of responsibility. If Romaro got free in the near future, Cole could do nothing about it from prison. He thought about Jenna at the Temple of the Still Water, awaiting rescue. He pictured Jace, Joe, and Mira back in their physical bodies somewhere in Necronum. He wondered about Dalton and Hunter, who had avoided getting drawn into the Echolands. All were most likely facing their own troubles. And there was nothing Cole could do. It might be up to his friends to rescue him this time. The iron collar, the chain, and the locked cell door meant he wasn't going anywhere for a while. Leaning against the chilly wall, Cole fell asleep. Cole awoke when his cell door opened. A pair of guardsmen stepped inside, taking up most of the remaining space. One held a torch. "On your feet," one of the guards ordered gruffly. "Yeah, okay," Cole said, trying to fully awaken. The guards leaned close, looking at the collar. He held a tiny key. "I don't see where to put this," he said. The torchbearer stepped nearer, squinting. "The jailer could have been more specific." "The chain is just looped through my collar," Cole offered. "I think the lock is on the wall." The guard studied where the chain was affixed to the wall, undid a lock, and slid the chain from Cole's collar. The guard with the torch stepped out into the hall. The other motioned for Cole to follow. The guard without a torch slid a hood over Cole's head. "Really?" Cole asked. "Isn't it dark enough?" "You're a top priority prisoner," the guard said. "We're escorting you to a high-ranking official. We'll be using some secret corridors. We have to keep the way secret." The guard took Cole's arm and led him forward. The guard did a good job warning Cole about upcoming obstacles and steps. For a long time, they headed upward. Cole heard a couple of quick interactions with jailers. Then he sensed brighter light seeping through his hood. They walked for a time before it became dark again. More stairs. Endless stairs. then several twists and turns and doorways. When the hood was finally removed, Cole stood in a spacious, opulent bedchamber. The huge four-poster bed had a canopy and velvet covers. Through the parted curtains, Cole beheld an aged man propped up on pillows, his complexion an unhealthy gray. Upon recognizing Cole, the man's expression sharpened with sudden interest.
"You."
Though they had met not too long ago, it took Cole a moment to recognize the man in the bed as Stafford Pemberton. With less hair, deeper wrinkles, slighter shoulders, and looser skin, the High King looked at least 20 years older.
"Hello, Your Majesty," Cole said.
The king's eyes darted to the guards.
"Thank you. I require a private audience."
He might be old and sick, but he seemed alert. The guards immediately departed. A lone guard remained in a corner of the room, holding a crossbow. He was not one of the guards who had brought Cole from the cell.
"No funny business," Stafford warned, "or Tuteo will put a quarrel in you. He is deaf and mute, and thus the perfect escort for private conferences."
Stafford began coughing, small at first, then louder and longer and wetter. As the fit wound down, he wiped his lips with a handkerchief.
"Come closer. I cannot afford to shout."
Cole approached the bed. Stafford studied him.
"I remember you. The errand boy. Rod, was it? What subterfuge is this? Why were you being held by Owendell with two of my daughters?"
"I've been helping them," Cole said, "protecting them. My real name is Cole." Stafford coughed again, eyes shut, chest heaving. He spat into his handkerchief and opened his eyes.
"I am weary of the many schemers seeking personal advantage through my offspring. The Unseen want to justify a revolution. Owendell wants a coup. The hour has come to—"
He became lost in another fit of coughing. Cole listened uncomfortably to the wet hacking. Stafford wiped his lips again and took several shallow breaths.
"The hour has come to take action. I have remained dormant too long as my foes plot my demise. You are a member of the Unseen?"
"Not a member," Cole said. "I'm just helping your daughters."
"You misrepresented yourself, Cole. You offered a false name, to my face. Lying to the king is punishable by death. Why should I refrain from enforcing this law?"
"Because a radiant deed shines forever," Cole said. Stafford paled, his eyes widening.
"Impossible. Where did you learn that phrase?"
"You told it to me," Cole said. Stafford's eyes hardened.
"My father spoke that phrase to a handful of people. All are long in their graves. Over my lifetime, I have uttered the phrase to 3 persons, none of them were you. And you would have been born long after the last of them died."
"You told me in the Cave of Memory," Cole said. Stafford covered his mouth with a hand that was all tendons, wrinkles, and liver spots.
"Intriguing. Plausible. An imprint of me resides there. An imprint left years ago. A secret portion of my history. A younger self, but me, and mentally sound, in some ways more than I am now. My imprint shared the phrase?"
"You told me it could bring a reward," Cole said.
"I must have trusted and appreciated you immensely," Stafford said. "Baffling. Unexpected. My daughters vouched for you. They warned that I needed to treat you kindly. Honor spoke of a rising threat, one only reported to me as a rumor so far. Nazim. And a new name, Romaro. The master who taught Owendell shapecraft."
"I met Romaro," Cole said. "In the Echolands,
I tried to keep him in prison. He got free. I slowed his return, but not permanently.
Honor shared similar. Shared similar.
Stafford turned away and began coughing again, frail shoulders heaving. He hawked up phlegm and spat into a handkerchief.
She expressed similar concerns.
His eyes looked watery.
Could you pass me the tonic on my nightstand?
A single stoppered vial rested on the bedside table. Cole handed it to the king. Stafford unstopped it, sniffed the contents, and winced.
Vile stuff. Meant to scare the sickness away, I suppose.
He took a long sip, swished it around his mouth, then swallowed. A sour grimace followed. Nasty? Cole asked.
Dreadful concoction, Stafford said.
I should lend it to my interrogators. They'd have every secret out in no time.
It eases the coughing, but the royal stomach and bowels pay a price. I was saying...
Honor had similar concerns, Cole reminded him.
A torivore of legend about to commence a reign of terror with the help of Owendell, Stafford said. Frankly, it sounds absurd, like fairy tales invented to frighten children, or perhaps propaganda devised by Owendell to inspire awe.
He handed the vial to Cole, who replaced it on the nightstand.
You saw this torivore?
Honor did too, Cole said, and others, in the Echolands. He's real. Send spies to the Echolands. Lots of people there know about Nazim.
You believe you can stop this torivore? Stafford asked.
Somebody has to, Cole said.
Indeed, Stafford said. When you met me in the Cave of Memory, I take it you liked me?
Yes, Cole said.
What did you do for me? Why did I share the phrase with you? I intended to be supremely cautious as an imprint.
The imprints can't hold new memories, Cole said. Your imprint only recalled what he knew up until you left the cave.
I'm aware how imprints function, Stafford said.
I used rocks to spell out that you end up with Harmony, Cole said, so the imprint could remember. Tears filled Stafford's eyes. One took a crooked path down his wrinkled cheek.
I see. Clever boy. You found a weak spot. Yes, at the time, that would have meant everything to me. Why?
What do you mean?
Why the act of kindness? You have been protecting my daughters. You must have unfavorable feelings about me.
You could say that.
Then why?
Cole thought for a moment. I liked the Stafford I met in the cave. He seemed like a good person. Stafford shifted against his pillows. He coughed gently.
He was, Cole, he whispered. I was.
He stared at Cole uncertainly.
Would you believe that man is still inside me somewhere? Would you?
Cole shrugged. I guess he has to be, right? Stafford looked away.
I don't know either sometimes.
I'm sorry, Cole said.
I'm dying, Cole. You can see that.
You look a lot older than the last time we met.
The powers I borrowed prolonged my life, Stafford said.
He cleared his throat.
The shaping powers I stole from my own flesh and blood, they prolonged a certain youthfulness. As I lost my hold on those powers, the stolen years began to catch up with me. The aging accelerated the more power I lost. Now I only retain a small portion of elegance's power. I don't know whether I will hang on until it departs. I have tried to keep my waning health a secret. My rule has grown unstable enough without my enemies knowing I am bedridden.
Have you had success? Cole asked.
Probably not, Stafford said. I had 11 spies executed this year. Spies caught right here in the first castle. If you catch 11 rats, how many more are still in the walls, raiding the pantry?
Maybe a lot, Cole said.
I've lost spies too, Stafford said. This year, no less than 30, right here in Junction City. The majority taken by Owendell, no doubt. Hard to be sure. He is crafty. Cole, I am High King of the Five Kingdoms. I am dying, and there is not a single person I fully trust.
Cole winced. That sounds terrible.
And along you come, with your radiant deed.
Cole said nothing.
You witnessed me as I was, Cole, Stafford said softly. I never meant to become who I am. I went on from that cave to win harmony, and it was wonderful. And so intimidating. Children were born. All the unrest and problems and strife of five kingdoms and one capital flowed to my doorway. If you ever want to ensure your worst enemy never again enjoys a good night's rest, make him a king. I was daunted, Cole. Overwhelmed. I was not up to the challenge. Owendell offered critical support.
Cole nodded to show he was listening.
Owendell gradually moved from the background of my life to the forefront, Stafford continued. Under his guidance, I made the necessary connections to win harmony. When the crown came to me, younger than anyone expected, he quietly became my right hand. He reduced my burdens. He fixed problems, great and small. He showed no interest in acclaim. I came to rely on him as I had never relied on anyone. And then, as my five daughters grew and their abilities flourished, one day he made a suggestion.
Take their powers, Cole said.
Borrow them, Stafford clarified. The word was always borrow. I had no idea borrowing shaping power was possible. Owendell assured me it could be done, just for enough time to firmly establish my rule, to provide Harmony the strong husband she deserved, to grant my daughters the protection they needed, to give my subjects a monarch worth heeding, so many selfless reasons to commit a supremely selfish act.
Stafford shook his head.
I was struggling to lead grand shapers and counselors and other governors who were so much more powerful than me. I was insufficient. I had married into much more than I merited. Owendell offered a chance to become the man I should have been.
And you took it. Stafford gave a small nod.
And that marked the end of the man you met in the cave.
Cole stared at Stafford solemnly.
I did not know I would lose my daughters instead of protect them, Stafford said. I did not expect to destroy the trust of my wife, and I never anticipated how much I would adore the power.
Wow, Cole said, surprised by the candor.
I have lived many years, Stafford said. I consolidated power as no other ruler of the outskirts has done before, and I lost my way. I see it now, as I wane. It's like awakening from a delirium. I lost my way, Cole.
Cole gave a nod.
A king, even a high king, even a high king with astonishing powers, is just a man. Only a man. Subject to weaknesses and foolishness, he longs for the same basics any man longs for. He suffers from many of the same insecurities that torment other men. A king has resources, yes, and those resources can quench certain longings, but they can also be used to hide frailties.
Those resources can conceal flaws. They can prevent certain wounds from being tended and healed. They can. Look at me. I am rambling.